Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
You always hear things in the media that you're not quite sure whether you should believe or not, and recently reports suggest that flossing might not be necessary and could even do more harm than good. Is that really true? My guest today is Dr. Susan Maples. She's practicing dentist for 27 years. Welcome to the show, Dr. Maples. So tell us about flossing. We've always heard you guys and our hygienists, you know, giving us the business when we go in for our cleaning, flossing, flossing, flossing. Are we not supposed to do it as much? What is this going on in the media?
Well, good morning. Thank you for asking. That's such an interesting thing that happened the other day when that sort of blew up and everybody's talking about, you don't have to floss anymore. It's like, but don't be so quick. Here's the thing. There are three diseases that really take teeth away. One of them is caries or cavities, and one of them is periodontal disease. So out of those two, flossing really helps prevent one. Which one do you think it is?
I would think periodontal disease.
That's right. So the study that they were looking at was on cavities. Does flossing really decrease cavities? And the answer is no. And the fact is, cavities as a disease is bacteria on your teeth. Of course, there are a certain couple of strains of bacteria that eat sugar and pee on your teeth, produce acids. And when you feed them sugar throughout the day, that's the biggest factor for cavities, not removing it with a piece of floss, because really it's sort of insidious. It's a big acid-based chemistry equation in your mouth. So flossing in that particular study didn't decrease the risk for cavities. But the real reason we're flossing is not to clear the contact where the cavity occurs, right underneath the snapped area where the floss catches, but way down at the gum line, underneath the gum line, as you curve the floss like a C shape and follow it all the way down as deep as you can and scrape up and down a few times to try to clear the bacteria load from the gum line, which helps keep the gums from being infected by a whole host of different strains of bacteria that really do cause inflammation, bone loss, and more importantly, can literally seep into the bloodstream and travel around the body and create havoc on all kinds of different organs. Does that make more sense to you?
It absolutely does. And when you think of flossing anyway, cavities are in the teeth. And flossing
That's
is between
right.
the teeth. So I don't even see how that would help. Brushing is what helps with cavities, not eating too much sweets, that sort of thing. Maybe some genetics, a little bit of that involved. But so flossing helps us not only with the periodontal disease, as you said, but we are also learning more and more, Dr. Maples, about heart disease, cholesterol, and plaques, things that flossing mm-hmm. can help us clear out. So give us the proper way to floss and some of the really other health benefits, because now here we are back to the dentist telling us, yes, you're still supposed to floss. Don't listen to that story.
Absolutely. Be flossing and brushing. Think about flossing and brushing as doing the same thing. It's literally removing the bacterial load or at least disturbing it at the gum line all the way around the tooth. So if I took a tooth out and put it in your hand, it has as much surface area between teeth as the cheek side and tongue side. So the floss has to, at the gum line, be curved around so it can get literally that quarter of the tooth really well as you slip it down, up and down, not seesawing back and forth. So you want to make sure that each time you're between teeth, you're curving it one way and slipping down under that tooth and then curving it the other way.
Ah, people don't think about that. They seesaw back and forth.
Yep. So that's the kind of technique we're talking about. But the deal is we want to get after inflammation. So if there's any redness, puffiness, or any bleeding at all, that's not healthy. Healthy gums don't bleed when they're cleaned like that. So it's not just about flossing, because let's say there was some bone loss between teeth. Well, the floss only goes so far. It's not going to go all the way down in between teeth. If there's bone loss, that needs extra treatment. It may need water pick and a hygienist instrument. It may need to be numbed. And you may have a disease going on that requires some saliva testing for, say, genetics or certain bacteria that are there. But if left alone, inflammation in the mouth, chronic inflammation like that, meaning long-lasting, everyday-old inflammation, not only doesn't hurt, so it doesn't give you feedback, so we live with it, but it's very dangerous for the rest of the body and has been linked from everything to dementia and erectile dysfunction and, of course, heart attack and stroke. Everybody's heard about that. But in all aspects of your health, we don't want to live with chronic inflammation. It wreaks havoc on the interior lining of all of your blood vessels and makes those bacteria easily penetrable into different areas where we don't want them.
Okay, so is there certain flosses? You know, we see ones that have mint, we see ones that are coated, we see waxy, we see strings. Do you care which one we use as long as we're doing it?
We just haven't had a lot of research showing one works better than the other. The whole deal is we're not actually removing the plaque, right? Because it lives in a hole. It lives in your mouth, which is part of your gut, and there's about 700 to 800 strains in there. What we're trying to do is disrupt the layer so that the deepest layer, which are the anaerobic, more dangerous ones, are basically brought to light or stirred up. So we're really trying to disrupt it, and what we're seeing is that any string at all scraped against your tooth, even toothpicks in the areas where the toothpicks can reach, or little proxy brushes or things where we're able to disrupt that plaque layer can help.
Okay, so what else would you like us to do about cavities? Obviously, Halloween just passed, so we're all worried about our kids a little bit there. And people see these studies, Dr. Maple, and you've really just cleared it up very well for us, Maples. You've cleared it up very well for us, but now protecting ourselves from cavities, as I mentioned at the beginning, is it a little bit genetic too? Because my daughter brushes regularly, doesn't eat a lot of sweets. She gets cavities. My son, whatever, and he doesn't.
So a lot of people are under the misconception that we inherit bad teeth. And it's not the teeth, it's the bugs. So we're born with a sterile mouth. As we pass through the birth canal, we get inoculated with some bacteria, and then the rest of them come from saliva, from moms and dads, mostly from moms, the studies show. And out of the 700 or 800 strains of bugs that we've been able to identify, and I'm sure there are many, many more in the mouth, there are some that are dangerous. And one of the ones that is dangerous is called strep mutans. That's the bug that actually eats sugar and produces acid. So your daughter, who doesn't get the cavities, she's the one that doesn't?
Yep, she's the one.
She didn't get...
No, she gets cavities. She gets cavities.
So
my son doesn't.
Yeah. She got a bigger dose of those. So when people say I inherited bad teeth, I'm like, nope, just bad bugs. So in her case, you know, feeding the bug sugar is going to be more harmful. And unfortunately, we have lots and lots of sugar in our diets. We consume on average 22 to 30 teaspoons a day, about what we consumed in 1800 in a year. So
wow.
It's in everything. So she's going to just have to be careful to look at her ingredients, stay away from all liquid sugars. And that'll be good for her, because by 2050, the CDC is suggesting that 1 in 3 of us will be diabetic. And if she's watching her sugar because of tooth decay, she's going to be able to avoid type 2 diabetes, whereas somebody that can just go crazy on sugar is definitely, definitely imploding the body with glucose, which, of course, demands an immediate insulin release, causes insulin resistance, and down the line can lead to type 2 diabetes.
So we only have just about 30, 45 seconds, Dr. Maples. Give us your best advice about this particular study and what you would say to people who say, oh, now we don't have to floss.
I'd say floss your teeth, kiddo. We need to avoid inflammation to keep the body healthy. You can learn more about it in my book, Blabbermouth, 77 Secrets Only Your Mouth Can Tell You to Live a Healthier, Happier, Sexier Life.
I love the name of that book, Blabbermouth, 77 Secrets.
You.
I mean, that is just a great, great name. And they can find that more about you, too, at drsusanmaples.com. And she's got fun name to say and a fun book name to say. And it's really all about the mouth, isn't it? So flossing is still good for you. May not help protect against cavities, but it does help protect against many other things. This is Melanie Cole. You can listen anytime on demand or on the go. RadioMD.com. Thanks for listening and stay well.